Afternoon tea, was it good? I saw the cake, I didn't have some. But I thought what we'll do, we'll start with a little bit of fun. It's been a long day, and I thought what better way to start my session with a bit of cup stacks competition. So we're going to do obviously different churches against each other because we're not competitive and I'm not from South Africa. I'm from New Zealand. So I thought I'll get three ladies up first from different. Crystal really wants to do it. So if she's going to do it, we need three ladies who's keen to play cup stacks. Come on, come on. Yeah, you can be red. Have you played it before?
No.
No, I'll show you. Not giant one. We need one more. One more brave lady. Come on, one more. One more. There we go. Just don't say you're from life. You're not from life. Okay, so I'll show you how it works. Yeah, you'll have... No, you guys have enough room. So basically, just... And then I won't get you guys to sit down, but just stand up. The first person that can do that and win, they'll be the winner. So I'm going to get off the stage because I don't think it's good. And no screaming because the other masterclass is going to hear us. So are you ready? She can't. You need to stay in your block. Okay, so ready, set. No. See, this is what happens in kids' church too. Ready, set, go. Okay. Unfortunately, life wins. But it's not a competition. So now we need three males because I know this gets out of hand a lot. So Jeremy, I was going to choose some people. Jeremy, Jamie, definitely Jamie. He's taking his jacket off. Is there anybody else? Any other guy? Oh, here we go. Okay. So rule number one is you can't kick the other person's buckets. Don't kick the bucket, please. So now it's life against Life Church against Vision Church. Okay, here we go. Are you guys ready? Jeremy, don't cheat, please. Honestly, we're representing life. Okay. Ready? Set. That's just an awesome time to take a picture. Just take a picture of that foot. Crystal's at the back. Ready, set, go. Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Don't give up. Say you're basic, say you're easy. You're always riding in the back. Well done. You guys are great sports. Can you take off? I just thought we're going to have a little bit of fun. It's all about having fun. Very cool. This time, not like yesterday, I will actually introduce myself because I totally forgot to do it. My name's Lionel. I am from South Africa, so get used to the accent. And is there any South Africans in the room? It's like the first time. I know, yeah, Jason is, but he's been in Aussie since, what, 5 years old? 5 years old. Oh, my friend Rainey. So I'm not going to be intimidated by you guys. I do still love the Springboks. But when the Springboks do play the All Blacks, I struggle. But I have to tell you one thing about that. One year, I challenged the kids at the World Cup, the last World Cup. I said to them, if the All Blacks win, I'll shave my hair off. Like, completely shave it off. And obviously, you guys did win. And the funny thing is, because it's multiple services, I had to cut half and then walk around with half in the first service, and the parents in between the services, like, is this the kid's pastor? Because that's just not cool. And then in the second half, I did the other half. So that was really awesome. Anyway, so we've been here, my wife and I have been here now 13 years in New Zealand from South Africa. We've been doing kids ministry now for 18 years. I've only been full-time at Life for 7 years. So before that, I've always just volunteered. We've just been in church, in kids' church, even moving from South Africa to New Zealand. We went straight into kids program. Just absolutely love it. She's currently next door serving and has been serving the whole time. She actually has a full-time job as a physio. She's amazing. I've got three kids, a 10-year-old girl named Shannon. I've got Tyler, who's 7, and then Summer, my most amazing, strong-willed child. She's 4 years old. And I just wanted to say something before I really get into it. I just want to honor the wives and the spouses in this room for, you know, comes to ministry. I know it's tough, you know, and there's a lot of expectation. And I'm sure there's people in here whose wives have a normal work or normal job in the week and then still come on a Sunday. And I really just want to honor you guys on behalf of your spouses and just say, awesome, you know, well done, because it's not easy. It is hard. Just a big hooray for you guys for just standing by your spouses. It's really, really awesome. I think I've got the hardest topic. I have to kind of share with you guys around strategic planning and the importance of strategic planning. And I say this honestly, I'm the soft-spoken one. I'm not the loud one. Crystal is the loud one. And I don't talk very long like she does. I do. When I have to book meetings, I book 2-hour meetings with her and 1 hour with the others. I joke. It's a joke. But before I get into it, I have really been praying a lot about the masterclass, and I just got something in my heart I really want to share with you guys that I know will fit in with strategic planning and planning for your kids' ministry. I'm not going to lie, I'll be really transparent as well. We as a kids' ministry and also as individuals have gone through a really tough season with, I didn't plan to go there, but I'm going to go. We had to walk with a family very close to us who lost their son from North Campus, and it's been a hard season for us as a kids ministry because we are still walking with that family. You know, if you lose a 5-year-old, you're not going to get over it like that. It's a journey, and we're journeying with that family right now. And the reason why I say that is, I think all of us, kids ministry is not always easy. I've done it 18 years now. And can I tell you honestly, there's been times where I wanted to walk away. Where I've go, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. But it's things like that where you ask yourself why and why it happens. And I sometimes still ask that question. And I just really had them on my heart this morning for some reason driving here to conference. And I even thought we could pray for them, you know, at the end. And for all our kids and for, you know, what kids go through. And personally, you know, I've got a best friend of mine whose son is, and I didn't take the tissues out. I always cry, just by the way. I think it's a South African thing. One of my best friend's son was born with diabetes, and they're journeying now as well. And it's been 13 years where he struggles with diabetes. But on top of that, a couple of months ago, we were informed that he's got cancer as well. Now, it floors me, you know. Firstly, because I can't be there for them because they're in South Africa. But, you know, you ask questions. God, why, you know? And we've just done a series on patience. And I said to the kids, I told the kids the story. I'm like, I'm not patient right now because I want to see the healing right now. But we know we serve a God of the possible. And I know he's going to get healed. I know that's going to happen. But it's obviously in God's time. And yeah, so just around that tough season, I really want to encourage us as kids, pastors, and leaders, we are going to go through seasons where it's tough. I don't know where you've been, and if you've been one of those people that go, I'm tired, man. I've because kids ministry is tiring. It gets to that point where you are getting tired. I got an email from a parent, and this is where I just shifted my thinking again, because as I say, sometimes you go through things and you think things you shouldn't think, and your flesh comes out and you're like, stuff it, I don't want to do it anymore, blah, blah, blah. You know, it happens. And this dad sent us a message, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning over Easter. I just felt compelled to write this to you guys in the form of a praise report at a child's level. We are down at Hahi Beach and up at 1 a.m. with little Emma, who's 4 years old now, who has a temperature and didn't quite make it to the toilet in time. As I'm cleaning up the mess and Amanda's gathering clean clothes and medicine, I hear Emma singing in the shower, "My God is so big." Why am I singing it? "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do that's true." And repeating this and repeating this. I have never heard her sing this before. Amanda said she had. And it has been a few weeks since we've been to church due to the crazy schedule. So this song is clearly locked into my memory from attending Life Kids. Just wanted to share with you guys how special this moment was. Despite her rough situation, she was singing God's praises at 1 a.m. in the shower, especially these promises. I felt it was like us adults reflecting on the word in tough times and trusting Jesus to work things out. Wanted to pass this on to you to share to your team as gratitude from us and also encouragement that what you're doing is so amazing and important. These little ones are soaking up God's word more than I think we'll ever know. And when it randomly comes out like this in tough times, it is really cool to see. Keep up the great work. Jesus must be impressed. And P.S. Emma is back sleeping now. So back to bed for us. Happy Easter. And I read this because I want to encourage us. What we do every Sunday makes a difference. I'm seeing this more and more and more. This conference has floored me. Absolutely floored me this weekend. It is just a grace upon us, not just our kids' conference, but there's a grace upon us as kids' leaders for what we are investing into our kids. And I just want to encourage you today. I just really felt compelled to do this. I've been praying about it. Just to encourage people, just remember we are making a difference. We are making a difference in our kids' lives. Can't shake it off, but our youth pastor came on Wednesday and he's going to kill me for saying this, but he's literally in tears and he doesn't cry. And he said he really had a picture of us at conference prophesying to the kids, but not prophesying to them as 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 19-year-olds, but we're going to prophesy in what they are becoming. They are the future leaders. They're the future pastors. They're the future policemen who's going to be. And that just, like, I cried. I always cry. I didn't cry. Thank you, Jesus. But just want to encourage you right from the outgo. Keep doing what you're doing in the tough times. Keep doing it. We know we're making a difference, and we're setting our kids up for a massive, massive win. That's my just little sideline heart thing that I felt. So before, I just really felt today, I mean, does all of you do a strategic plan or plan for your ministry? Everybody? Yes? Cool. What I thought I'll do is just share from what we did last year from a strategic plan and the outcome. Because I want to encourage you, when you do a strategic plan, you're not always going to go through all of them. Well, we had a few misses, and that's all good. But I guess all of us know a strategic plan is there to give you direction. A strategic plan is there to give you a goal. I think if I don't have a goal, then what's the point? I think in anything what we do, that's why it's there. And I just wanted to give like 5-6 points on, before I get into the strategic plan, just things that I feel God wanted me to share with you guys around what we can do that will help a strategic plan go forward. And number one was, are you still dreaming? You know, like, we obviously have a massive vision for life by 2020, Pastor Paul Reeder believed we're going to be a church of 20,000. And that's amazing. And we're under that vision. And with that, we're going to have 2,000 active leaders. And that affects us because we're going to have 1,800 kids in kids ministry by that time, actively, you know, coming to church. When I hear that now, I'm like, okay, okay. More than that is the leadership. So currently we sit on, you know, like official leaders, we sit on 120 leaders. But by 2020, we need 360 leaders to make Kids Church work. And hear my heart, we obviously got 12 services. We've got 4 locations. We've got Melbourne as well. But I want to encourage you, doesn't matter what size your church is, we still do Kids Church at our 1150. That's only 40 kids. Then we've got one where there's 100 kids, and then there's another one that's 90 kids or 150. So we're all in the same boat, but obviously we look after attendance between 800 and 1,000 kids. So there's this massive, massive vision. But are you still dreaming? Are you still dreaming for what your kids' ministry is going to look like? I honestly, I'm so excited. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. We've got this massive project at the moment, a new central facility that's they're busy literally building it. And it's going to go to a whole nother level. And I can't stop dreaming about what God's going to do there. It's that whole thing, vision. I actually Googled, when you go to Google, it's the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. But then I'm like envisioning, vision. Imagine as a future possibility. And I just want to encourage us to keep envisioning what your kids' ministry is going to look like. Because what we do is we look at now and we go, oh, we don't have this, or we don't have that. And that can sometimes make us feel, I'm never going to get there. I don't have what I want now. How is it going to look like, in the future? But we have to dream. I don't think everything will happen, but like for instance for me now, I love Crystal because she's like, I believe, I've never like even said that, but she's a dreamer. Like she's had this incredible, on her heart to have little groovers, the same as mainly music, the little dancers. And she's been asking for it. She's been, wanting to do it. And she's been talking about it and thinking about it. And they've just launched it. And it's one of the most amazing community events that we've ever seen. First day, I think you got over 70 mums and kids come to this event. And it's because of a dream. So at the moment, she's dreaming big. She wants Holiday Club. And she's a fighter. But she's dreaming about it. So I guess my encouragement is just keep dreaming, keep dreaming, keep dreaming, and write it down, because that's literally what a strategic plan is there for. Is, if you have that dream, put it on paper. The other thing is, are you guys still, because this is where I'm getting challenged, because we all know kids' ministry is full on, it's busy, Sundays are busy, it's running. Literally, when you land your feet on a Sunday, it's running. In the week, when you get ready, and I'm probably talking a little bit more to, kids' pastors right now, but in the week, you're full on, you're busy, it's full on. Are you still taking moments to breathe? Are you still having those moments? Because I find that we're running, and God's just been challenging me since the beginning of the year. Do you actually have a hobby? Because last year I didn't. I was just running all the way. And funny story, but after our friend's son died, he was actually he was such a cool dude, man. He lived life better than I lived in 40 years. 43 years. I'm 43. He just lived such a full life. And we should cheer as well, eh? No. He lived such a full life. And when I went to that funeral, and I know the family really well, like know them since we've been here. In 5 years, the dude did more than what I did in my whole life. And one of the things he did was motocross. And I got really inspired by that. And I actually bought myself a motocross bike. And I ride with his dad a lot. But I just thought to myself, we have to have moments where we breathe, and take a moment away, because we go away and we ride, and I'm telling you, when I'm out there, I'm thinking, I'm concentrating. Believe me, I'm concentrating, because I've come off a lot on that bike. But I just take moments to breathe. But I just want to encourage you, in kids ministry, we have to find moments where we breathe to hear from God. Okay. Cool. The other encouragement or suggestion is to network. I've had this one on my heart so much, honestly, and been touching base with Jason, and I've met Jamie, you know, last year, and I haven't done it really well, and it's challenging because you're busy, blah blah blah. But we have to network. Doesn't matter where you are. We're in a day and age where we can now Skype and FaceTime, and it makes the world a difference. For a long time, I've been now in this role for 2 years now, and even though I've got my team, and it's awesome when we got each other's backs, I felt alone. And we started in Auckland to meet up once a term. We missed this first year, this first term we missed, and we're still going to do it. But once a term, we met up with about 6-7 churches from Auckland. And all we do is sit around a table, have a cup of coffee or tea, some snacks, and we just chat. Hey, how's your ministry going? What are you guys doing that we're not doing? What's your career? Almost like what we're doing now. And I want to encourage you, networking is what we need in a kids ministry. I want to learn from Jamie, and Jamie wants to learn from me. Same, I've just met Jason. He's part of ACC in Australia. I'm excited that God's placed him, you know, alongside me now. And we had a quick chat last night, and because we've just gone through a bit of a change within life where we're going to the campus model. So, you know, like they've got two uplines, so it's me and someone. So it's a bit different, you know. We're going through changes and we're trying to work that all out. So it's good to partner with people who's actually gone through the change. They've just gone through the change. And I'm like, that's awesome that in this conference I just meet someone who's actually going through that change. So I want to encourage you, in your area, there is other churches. Pick up the phone. I tell you, the couple of times we phoned Elam and hey guys, we get around the table. Are you guys keen to meet? They don't even think twice. They're like, yeah, we're there. So we've been now 6-7 churches, sit around the table and we just hang and we just talk about kids ministry. So I just want to encourage you, find someone to network with. And we're happy to give, you know, our emails out afterwards. We are open. One thing we can't do is we can't share the Orange curriculum, but we've done curriculum in the past, so we've got resources that we can send you, or questions. And I want the same. I want to be able to come to you guys. We don't know it all. We're still learning, you know, as we're going. But feel free to ask us, or, you know, Jason, and you know, we come around each other and help each other. Number four was, oh, no, not. Just in that networking thing, can I encourage you to partner with your parents? It's one thing I try and be very intentional, just to network with them as well. I've been always really intentional to partner with my parents. Well, not my parents, the kids' parents. Sorry. My parents in South Africa. But to partner with your kids' parents, I'm really intentional. I try and invite people over. My wife sometimes gets so over it, but it's just how I am. But we invite people over, and sometimes I ask the kids, you know, who's been at my place? And they're like, oh, yeah. But it just builds such an awesome relationship. You know, like I've got some people who's here who's been at our house, and we've been at their house. And that's how relationship starts building. And that's how, you know, you get to know people. You know what their heartbeat is. They may be in kids, just like Crystal said. They don't really want to be in kids, but now that you actually hang out with them and around the table, they're like, oh, no, my heart's for something else, or I want to do this in church. And then you kind of just, you go in the same direction. So I just want to encourage you, partner with your parents, even if it's one parent a month. But if it's one a month, that's 12 a year, you know, that you've got on your side. And kids love it. We did it a long time ago. This is even before Jeremy. We did something, I can't remember what it was called, but we did Dine with Your Kids Pastor. And it was just once a month, we just handpicked a kid and then asked their parents if we could come around and then just come and hang out at their house. And they loved it. They were like, oh, he came to my house? You know, like he was just so, we stopped doing that because there's too many kids. But they loved it. I mean, obviously we changed it around and we did come dine with your kids pastor at church. So we flipped it around and made a whole event of that. And that was even crazy. That's that whole thing where kids were dragging their parents and parents emailed Pastor Scott going, why are you doing this and dragging my kids? I'm supposed to go to a Valentine's dinner and now I have to come to church. And that's what happened. And Pastor Scott was laughing. He's like, cool, they're coming to church. That's awesome. Yeah, so partner with your parents. I can encourage that. The other one thing is find another you. Really, really want to encourage you with that. And Pastor Steve Roberts, who was here before me, who's now in Sydney, that's one thing I took away from him, is to find another me. When I was kids' campus pastor, I was very privileged that Jeremy was looking after primary and Crystal was looking after preschool before they became campus pastors. And they came in for me and it freed me up. And all I did every Sunday, I felt so bad. I kid you not. I felt like I wasn't working. But I was literally in the foyer every Sunday just connecting with parents. That's all I did. And then my upline goes, what did you do this Sunday? I was in the foyer just hanging out with parents. That's cool. That's awesome. You know, so find another you. Even if you, kids pastor, like I know it's something I need to work on. I'm not saying it's there yet, but that's what the campus pastors are doing right now. They're finding other thems. That's not proper English, but anyways, you know what I mean, South African. But they find someone else to free them up. And I think it's just so important to free yourself up so you can connect with your parents. I know I find it really hard, but I don't preach as much as I used to in kids' church. I do. I try once a month or so, and I miss it a lot. But I know God's put me in the season now to look after parents and families. And I know some of your churches does family and, you know, kids. But I just feel that's where God wants me right now, is to connect with parents. You know, even I know Crystal and Rosie, they're all really good at it. That relationship we have with the parents. I was absolutely blown away with this conference that I think it was 4 weeks out or 3 weeks out beforehand. We had 40 people as volunteers. I was literally just walking around on my knees. I was like, God, 40 people for 550 kids registered? How are we going to do this? And it was literally a phone call and a text, or I know a text is not good when you, but, and parents are like, yeah, man, we're there. You know, because one, you know, like I text her, I know her, I know the family, I know the kids, text them. Oh, we get back to you. And they've been helping us, even though they signed up for this conference. So I just want to encourage you guys, build that relationship because they're there for us if we ask. I think sometimes we don't ask because they do so much already. But I really believe they want to help and they want to be asked. So yeah, I want to encourage you with that. Wow, that time's gone fast. So just with last one. Remember to have fun. I'm going to just say that. Remember to have fun. Kids ministry, you always have to have fun. Just with the strategic plan. So I want to talk around last year's one. Just give you examples because I was really blown away. I chatted to Crystal, your wife, and she was here last year. And we talked around our Empower Kids program that we started, our leadership program. And they actually started it. I was really like, man, I was moved because you know, often you come up here and, you know, people take stuff away and then, you know, some can do it, some can't do it, depending on their situation. It was just so encouraging to hear that they've started it. And I really want to encourage, we often say we need more leaders. Can I tell you what? We know it. They are in our kids program. We started that program last year and we had 56 year sixes come onto that program out of all the campuses now. That's 56 leaders we don't have. But that is our future leaders. I was standing in the service last night and I was doing ministry and I look out and our Empower Kids were there and they had their shirts on and I was like, this is what it's about. They're already in there serving at 12 years old. And Can I encourage you, if it's only two kids, try and make it happen. If it's five kids, awesome. If it's 10, cool. But I encourage you to start a, because that was one of our top strategic plans for that year of 2017, is to start a leadership program with our kids and be consistent with it, and it's gone to a whole nother level. We did, I know I mentioned it to people last year, we did little boxes, just cardboard boxes, and we had a t-shirt in there, we had a lanyard, a notebook, a pen, a lolly, and just wrapped up, and a card, welcome to, you know, Empower Kids, and we gave them the boxes, and it's a present, and they were stoked. Can I tell you what moved me? Was when they got their lanyard. Forget the t-shirt, mate. When they got a lanyard and they put it on, they felt like, I'm a leader. Already. You know, the kids were stoked about their lanyards. So it doesn't have to be complicated, your little box. But be creative. I tell you, that can make a world of difference for your ministry to go forward. This year we've got, we had 50... How many last? 54. This year we got 58 junior leaders. And then part of our strategic plan this year is just to do a couple of things within it. So last year was just to start the program. And that doesn't mean you start the program right away. With a strategic plan, you obviously have a timeline of when you actually want to start it. So we started the year before, and then we said we're going to kick off in March because January people are away. February, you know, is full on at church. So we started in March, and then they graduated at the end of the year. So this year we started in March again, and the graduation was honestly just floored me. The kids were just, yeah, were just up there, and we gave them a certificate, and they went into the, you know, the next part of their journey, but they came back to us. I'm serving. So we got heaps of kids now from last year that serve now in Kids Church in our preschool rooms, but also in our primary. This year we're gonna do a couple of hangouts with outside of a Sunday. So we've implemented, so we've got Empower Kids again in our strategic plan, but just expanding it a bit. So we want to have a outside like event with them in the school holidays. And then the other thing I'm going to do is actually want to get them part of the community. So if there's a community event, like we do a cookie giveaway as a community event, we actually want the Empower Kids to come in and be part of the community as well. I think we don't do that enough, where our kids is part of the community. I know there's community events where it's health and safety, kids can't be there. But find an event where kids can actually be, because they want to be part of that. And we need to teach our kids about looking out for the community. So that was one of the things. Really went well with that one. We were stoked with that. The other one was expansion of the kids' leadership. And Crystal talked a little bit about it, and that was a biggie. Because as we know, it's hard to find leaders. But that was on our strategic plan. And we had a target of 120 leaders by the end of December 2017. And we actually hit that target. I was absolutely blown away that we hit that target. But like Crystal said, seriously, prayer has made a world of difference. You have to pray for your leaders. That whole parent thing, I love the parents and they serve us and, you know, and they still come and, but I like it when a person comes to me saying, God has actually spoke to me and said, I need to be in kids. And yeah, so that's really awesome. We also had on weekly worship in Kids Church. So we used to do fortnightly, and one of our targets was really to, by the end of the year, to have worship in all our services. And like Crystal said, not every campus has a band. We actually use the, you know, the DVD and the tracks. And I've seen kids move in that, you know, like, doesn't have to be a band. If you have the right person up there, they will engage God. So that was one of the things we wanted to see in all our campuses. It's, for me, it's just really important that our kids are worshiping, irrespective of, you know, the situation. As easy as putting a CD on or, you know, playing a track and having someone just, doesn't have to sing, but just engaging the kids. That's awesome. But do that one to me is very important. Then one of the other ones we did, and that I want to encourage you with as well, is Just those outreach Sundays. We've been doing them since, like, last year we spoke about it a little bit. We cut them down a little bit from the year before. The year before, we did, like, once a month, every Sunday night, we did an outreach Sunday. And, man, we just saw kids pour in. But then we couldn't maintain it the following year because it was full on. That was like doing an event, a full on event every Sunday, plus having your normal morning services. So now what we do is we're real strategic with it. We actually come alongside the church's calendar. And whenever they have a special event, we do something alongside them. And just do like food, you know, popcorn or just something fun. But then we promote it to our parents. And we've just noticed every time we do it, we hit the 1,000 mark in our kids. So normally our attendance is about 850, 900. But every time we do an outreach event, we hit the 1,000. Now, the exec team's like, okay, these guys are up to something. They're drawing families. So now we keep doing that. So every year we've got to we look at the calendar and we just fit things in and plan for that, you know, plan for that year where we can put something that will be in line with church, and that's how the kids come in. And that's how they experience, the fun part, but how awesome church is. When we have kids come to that, often parents are like, man, my kids just love church. And that's our mission. It's kids loving church. So I encourage you with outreaches. Just think outside the box, you know. We had so many different things that we did with them, and it was really amazing. And then there's things like your normal, that we put on our strategic plan is, you know, just normal, you want a better foyer, or I just throwing some ideas out, you know, like you guys can think about it, but we want world-class foyers, and you know, when a parent walk in, that's the first place they see. That was one of the things that we put on for this year. They don't go to main service into the main, or you know, in the main foyer. They come to us first. That's first expression of what Kids Church is going to be like. So if our foyers are not, like, you know, attractive, and we can make it attractive by putting balloons up or having mascots or having people dressed up or whatever. But I just feel that for us, that's quite an important one, is to actually, when the parent walk in, they go, wow, this looks amazing. Welcoming, the little boards, you know, we've been starting to do that more, that we haven't done that. And that makes a difference, just having those little boards. So yeah, I just wanted really, I don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to kind of just give a few ideas of the stuff that we've had on our strategic plan. I know everybody knows how our plan works, but I think it's just really my heart for today is to think about and dream about what you want for your kids' ministry and start putting it on paper and planning it. We've got 3-year plans. We got a 1-year plan. And it drives me to make it outwork. And there's some of them that we're missing the mark and we still need to work on. But I think it's so rewarding when you actually, you dream about the thing you want to see by the end of the year. And when it happens, man, it just gets you ready for the next year. And you just want to do something different. Like, I've on my heart, and I haven't really shared it with because it's just something. The other morning I woke up and I'm like, how awesome would it be to have a branded, because we're about to rebrand, and I'm so excited. We're about to rebrand Life Kids, that I'm really, really excited about. But that whole dream thing, I can't wait for this rebrand, because I really want Bibles that's branded with our logo and an app. I'm so frustrated with technology and kids on iPads and iPhones. It's like, and I know Hillsong does it, but we need apps, man. We need, you know, I'm dreaming. I'm like, we need an app where kids can sit on an app and follow us, follow what we've done the week. Memory verses are on there, you know, just, we need to start thinking big, man, to get a hold of our kids that get sucked into this world with iPads and iPhones and these games and that games. And that's really, like, the things I'm thinking bigger now is, how cool will it be when a kid walk in and he gets a, I can't say the name of our new name yet, but gets a new Bible. Imagine it. I know. Oh, got fired. Imagine they get a Bible that's branded by our church, you know. They will be so stoked. Not sure we're going to get the money yet, but anyways, that's another battle. So that's really, like, in a nutshell, just really wanted to share my heart today and really encourage you guys to keep going, keep fighting, keep running strong. And the whole network thing, I think it's really important that we start networking with each other. Please, I want your email. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we can give you our emails. And then, you know, you guys can email us and we can email you back. But that thing is really, that networking is on my heart, that we start networking, helping each other. We're one ministry, man, you know, like, doesn't matter where we are. I'm still networking with people in South Africa that I, you know, come alongside, and I still speak to kids pastors there, because at the end of the day, we're wanting to touch our nation's kids and, you know, the world, you know, like, and imagine we all stand together and talk to each other and help each other out. We can take this kids ministry to a whole nother level. Cool. We've got a few minutes for questions if you want. There's been a lot of questions, but you guys can answer as well if you want. Is there any questions? I know mine's been... Year sixes. No, only year sixes. So it's for our primary age. So we just do year sixes, and then youth has just started with, we're literally going from year six, we're going to move up right now. So those year six of ours and year seven now, they do another program. So we're going to go right through with leadership training until they 18 and they walk out. No, so we got, we're currently using David Club from Andrew Shepherd. He's actually not printing books anymore, and I'm not sure why. I've just chatted to him. But we're looking at other resources that I can give you the name if you want. But, yes, I guess it's just going online and looking at some resources. And there is resource out there, but we actually have to now relook at our resource, because that David Club was an awesome book, and I'm not sure what the reason is that he's not printing them anymore. But I can give you his detail, because he's open to sending the PDF on the book for a donation. So, but the book's brilliant. It's 12 chapters. Obviously, you don't go through, because we start in March. It only gives us 10 months, but we just do two chapters in a month. And they go away. They read it. They're so good with it. The kids love it. Separate meeting, yeah. So we do at all our campuses. We meet on the first or the second, depending on the campus, on the first or the second Sunday of the month in the 8:40 service, and we just take them out. So sometimes we just put them in the foyer, in the kitchen, in the hangout area. Other, like Central's got extra room, so they've got an extra room. But it's just 40 minutes, and we go over the notes. Yeah, and yeah. So. And then they serve... We also won some, we rostered them on. The kids had done it, we rostered them on. The ones that, you know, start like this year, will get to do, you know, basic things like welcome on the door or sound and lights. They all love. We get like four or five kids that always want to do sound and lighting. And then some of them love the little kids. They want to be in bounds with the little babies, and they all got their shirts on and their lanyards. So, yeah, it's such an awesome thing to do. No. Yep. So teaching them leadership skills, and then we ask them, where would you like to serve? Or go away and think about it. What would you like to do within Kids Church? And then they'll come back and say, I want to help with the little kids, or I want to, yeah, they just open to do anything, really. Yeah. Jamie. Yeah, so... When I do the actual, I'm going to show it like this, but I can email it as well. I just put dates in of when we want to achieve it, and then we'll work towards those dates. So, yeah, I just date them. Like, that's, can you, because you through next steps and all that, I'm not too involved with that.
Yeah. It's an area we're just working out at the moment, but we use for church and keeping track of data in that perspective. There's a master program called LRM that we use that's a master thing for everybody. So we just weave that in and track our team numbers there because we're still working on how we can make that fit for all different departments. We tend to track kind of on our own as well, very archaically with Excel spreadsheets and things like that. So at the moment, that's where we're at, but we're moving towards making our data management system a little bit more dynamic. We're just looking at that resource right now. So it weaves through, but yeah, it's a bit.
And then obviously with next steps, that Next Steps is part of it as well. They'll go through Next Steps for that 4 weeks. I mean, they can take their time. Yep. And then alarm comes up on our system. Yeah, and we need to follow them up. That's for new people. Yeah. Anything? Anybody else? I know, it's been a long day. That's all good. Cool. I really want to just end off a prayer again. And yeah, and then we've got a break, but just thank you for this week, and thank you for coming to the masterclasses. It's really nice to meet some of you and hang out. And yeah, we'll if you want our email, just come and pop in, and you can get it from us or you know Jason and Jamie. But anyways, let's pray. God, I just want to thank you so much for this incredible week. We're just humbled by you, and just thank you that your hand's upon us, God, and your hand's upon our kids, and we just pray. God, you'll be with us. God, you'll strengthen us. You'll energize us. You'll put a fire in our hearts for our kids, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, you will just be with these amazing leaders, God. You will just give them wisdom and ideas and bring the right people alongside them, God, to walk this walk with them. God, we thank you for just the couples that's been represented here. And yeah, just their heart for your ministry, Lord Jesus. We just pray a blessing over them. And God, we just thank you for this conference and what you're still going to do in this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Have an amazing day. Thank you.